Praise God. I'm going to go ahead and start right now, if that's all right. And we'll have a song here in a few minutes and worship a while. And but I'd like to share something with you. And if you'd like to turn to John chapter 11, verse 24, I'm going to read a few verses here and then go from there. Good. Having a good service today. Thank you, Jesus. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Amen. God, I pray that you bless the word, bless the preaching. Help me to say the right things and help our heart to hear the right things. In Jesus' name. Everyone said amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. We'll come back to John chapter 11 in just a moment, but if you would, turn to Exodus chapter 3, beginning of verse 1. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, beginning of verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. It's a good answer to give the Lord when he calls your name. It's better than hiding behind fig leaves. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Aren't you glad he knows your sorrows? We've been talking about his deity this week, and in the last several services, we've been talking about how one God he really is, and yet we read in the Word of God in John chapter 8, verse 58, when the Jews said to Jesus, You're not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? And Jesus replied, Before Abraham was, I am. And yet we read Isaiah speaking about the same Savior we've been talking about, who carried their sorrows, he bore their griefs. I'm glad he knows. When I'm sorrowful, I'm glad he knows. He knows our sorrows. He doesn't just know them to let you know that he knows them, but he knows them because he wants to deliver you from them. Yes. Praise the Lord. That's why we celebrate a resurrection, because he carried some stuff, your stuff. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I want to talk about this I am today. We read here in John chapter 11 where he told Martha that he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He didn't say he was. He said, I am. And I'd like to say in conjunction with what we've been talking about for the last several services, just for a moment here, that the one who declared to Moses, I am that I am, is the same one that spoke in the days of his flesh in John 8 that I just spoke to you. He said, before Abraham was, he said, I am. It was the same God, the same Jehovah God, the same deliverer, speaking on both sides of the cross. First covenant, second covenant, or about to be the second covenant. The same one. He said, I am. Same answer, same God. Not a different God, not a deity from God, not a second person of the Godhead. It was God himself. Amen. The I am that I am, speaking to those people and saying, before Abraham was, I am. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I want you to understand that the one who came to rescue you is the I am that I am. Hallelujah. Not another God. The one true living God came to rescue us. He didn't send another deity. He didn't send an extension or a third person of his deity down. It was the Lord that came down. It was the Lord that suddenly came to his temple. Not a building made with men's hands, but a temple, a body, as it is written, right? We talked about these things already. In John chapter 2, he said, Destroy this temple in 3 days. I will raise it up. And they looked at the building that they were in and said, This was 46 years it took to build this. And in 3 days, will you tear it down? Will you build it up again, rather? But that's not what he was talking about. He's talking about the temple of his body. See, there are some people that cannot see, and then there are others who can see. So he's telling Moses here in Exodus chapter 3, Tell them, I am hath sent me unto you. Those Jews in John chapter 8 understood what Jesus was saying. They took up stones to stone him because that you being a man, make yourself God. Hallelujah. I'm glad God made me. He said to John in the revelation of Jesus Christ that, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Because only the great I am can be the one that said, I am he that liveth and was dead. Only God who is can create a was for himself. A God who has no beginning nor ending, no past, no present, no future. In other words, he's not subject to our time, but yet he was able to step in time and give himself a past in time. The one who has no lineage. There's none before him. He is. Oh, praise God. I'm so glad I serve one that is, because there are moments in my life and there's moments in your life when you need that I am to be the I am right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And you will always find him to be the I am that I am, no matter how you feel, no matter what you're going through, no matter how destitute it looks, no matter how much sorrow you have. You have one who said, I am, and I know their sorrows. Praise God. And because he is who he says he is, we've got hope. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad about that today? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But Moses here is having problems. And God's not having problems. But Moses is having problems because the Lord has to remind him, no matter who Moses thinks he is, the Lord says, Certainly I will be with you. And then when he goes on to continue in conversation here, saying that I'm going to deliver the people, and I will stretch out my mighty hand upon Egypt. That we go to chapter 4, and Moses is backing up. And he's saying, they're not going to listen. The Lord said they will. Sometimes we forget what God says. He said, go, you tell the children of Israel, tell the elders that I am has sent me unto you, and I'm going to deliver them. And you go and talk to them, they will listen to you. Pharaoh won't, but they will. And Moses said, they won't listen to me. Kind of like a preacher saying, I've had it with this congregation. I've been preaching for how long? They won't listen to me. But then the Lord begins to deal with Moses. Good old Mo. And he says, what do you have in your hand? You know the story. I'm not here to belittle anything that you haven't heard once or twice before from myself and many more times from Pastor. But he begins to deal with Moses based on what he has, and he began to declare to Moses what he can do and show Moses that it's not about you, but it's about you being involved, but it's about the great I am. And you know, he throws the stick down and it becomes a snake, and he runs from it. And God does all these miraculous things and says, now go to Egypt and show them these things. Hallelujah. God gets angry with Moses because he begins to make all sorts of excuses to the point where God allows him to take Aaron, his brother, and go with him and be the spokesperson. That's how much backpedaling Moses does. We talk about how great Moses was, and he was, and I'm not here to belittle Moses in any way. I'm not here to cast him down. But Moses is people just like you and me. And here's this 80-year-old guy, and God's saying, go, I'll be with you. Certainly I'll be with you. They'll listen to what you got to say. And I'm going to show my glory upon Egypt. And he's like, I'm not of good speech. I can't go. I can't. They won't listen to me. And so the Lord's fury gets a hold of him a little bit. I don't want to make God angry. I just want to, if he wants to involve me, I just want to say, sure, let's go, even if I don't think I can do it. Yes. Praise the Lord. So there are times when God's dealing, he's there to show his mighty power. So there's nothing wrong with him. He's the I am that I am. That's not part of the equation that's missing. Luke chapter 5. I'm just going to go right here for a few more minutes. I'm going to Luke 5 and then back to John 11. So I'm not going to waste too much time in Exodus 3. But I want to show you, number one, an example of Moses and something that the I am that I am has said. And Moses is backing up. Now we go to Luke 5, beginning of verse 1. Luke 5. You know the story well, but let's read it one more time, because there's something I've come here to say to you about the one who is the resurrection and the life. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, let me say this before I begin reading with verse 4. This is not the first time he met Simon. I know in some films, based upon where they take the story from and build their film from, you could just see Jesus showing up and like they don't know who this guy is, but that's not the case. When you read all the Gospels, you realize that Peter's already acquainted with him. His brother Andrew is already a devoted disciple of him. Peter's not. But Andrew is. See, there are people who become acquainted with the Lord, and I would dare say among us, there are people who show up to church occasionally who are acquainted with the Lord, but they're not as nutsy about him as Andrew is. Not everybody jumps at this thing. Now, Andrew's kin to Simon. Andrew's all over it. He was that disciple of John that heard John speak the day after Jesus was baptized. And when he said again, behold the Lamb of God. So Andrew and another disciple follow the Lord. And you read the story in John 1. whom do you seek? Well, where do you dwell, Master? And he said, come and see. And it was Andrew that would later get Simon and bring Simon to Jesus. And when Jesus saw Simon, that's when the first time we read that he calls him Cephas, which by interpretation is a stone. So all this has happened. He's already historically here. He's already been where he's healed his mother-in-law of a fever. So he's got history. But this passage shows us something about Simon that Simon, well, let's read. I want to say that to paint a picture here because it's just like people. Okay, this whole thing, we're reading us in our present day. It happens all the time. It happens all the time here. And what I hope when I'm reaching out with the Word of God, what I hope when we gather together and pray is that one more soul that's hesitant, that one more soul that's backing up from I am that I am, will jump in, praise God, and will give in, and will not hold back. So he taught the people out of the ship, and there's Simon listening to him. I don't know how long he taught. Could have been there for 3 hours, for all I know. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught, or a great catch. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. We've already been here. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Hallelujah. See, only Jesus knows how to get inside people's boats. Praise God. Only Jesus knows how to step into your world and press the right button. He knows how to reach you. I don't know how to reach anybody. I don't know how to step inside of people's souls, Brother Rick, and just know how to be present, how to say the right things, how to do the right things in order for the response we're about to see to happen. Simon said, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. See, it doesn't matter what you're going through. If you can just somehow humble yourself, break a little, and try to realize as much as in you is, it's not about your comprehension of what he can do. It's about your submission to what he can do. It's about your and I's obedience to who he is. They were yet to discover that I am that I am was standing in his boat. It wasn't just another prophet, praise the Lord. It was the I am that sent all the prophets in the flesh, in his boat. All we need to change our circumstances is a word from God. It's our willingness to jump into the equation and say, nevertheless, at thy word. Hallelujah. What's missing? Picture this now. We've all been to school. We've had those wonderful little math equations put before us as problems to solve, right? You ever see that kind of like 8 plus question mark equals 10? And we have to fill in the blank as to what that number is in the question mark. Well, that's kind of like us. I am plus what equals the miracle? I am plus nevertheless at thy word equals the miracle. What's going to help the children of Israel get out of Egypt? It's I am that I am plus Moses saying I will go equals deliverance from Egypt. Right. Praise the Lord. It's not God who's the missing part of the equation. It's our willingness to jump in and be a part of that equation. Yes. Hallelujah. And not withdraw ourselves from it. It's God demonstrating just how much I am that I am he really is. If you're willing to allow yourself to see it and to experience it instead of come to church and hold back. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What do we have here? Okay. So, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them, and they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Kind of like the straw that broke the camel's back. It's kind of like, what's it going to take for Peter to become just as zealous as his brother Andrew? Hallelujah. What's it going to take for this hard nut to crack? Thank you, Jesus. And he knows how to do it. And for Peter that day, washing his nets, frustrated, he toiled all the night long. Whatever it is that in his heart, in his soul, has him not collectively jumping in with both feet. See, you can see a miracle, but it doesn't mean you're in this thing. You can come to church and be amongst the worship, but it doesn't mean you're in this thing. Praise God. Peter was around all of that. He had enough of experience with this guy to know some things about him, that he was a master, that he was a rabbi, that he would reach out in verbiage to show respect to him. But what was it going to take? Jesus stepped into that boat in order to catch Simon. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In order to trigger, in order to watch what the scripture talks about with signs following. The scripture says he confirmed his word with signs following. What does it take for people to gravitate towards the word? It's the manifestation of the power of the word. It's not just a pretty sermon. It's not just some teaching on a boat, but it's the power that's behind the word that's on the boat. Hallelujah. So now as I taught the people, I had you sit here for a while and listen to me. Now I'm going to demonstrate the power of my word. And I want to take you right back where you were when you were having a bad night. I want to show you what the word can do. Left no question in Peter's mind. Hallelujah. He was absolutely astonished, convicted, brought to his knees. He fell down at Jesus' knees. The circumstance brought him to his knees. Hallelujah. What we need in our day and age, and what we need continually happening in this assembly, is people brought to their knees. Hallelujah. Not standing afar off, not being involved all the way, but kind of here. We need people saying, "I want this Holy Ghost, praise God. I want to be buried by baptism into death. I want to turn from my wicked ways. I want whatever the Lord would have me to become, I want to become it." Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Because you'll never experience the other side of the equal sign. You'll watch. You'll be an observer, but not a partaker. The whole equation only works for you when you insert yourself on the other side of that plus sign. And you stop leaving it a question. For he was astonished and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken, verse 9. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from this point forth," or "from henceforth, thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Love this passage. Something happened that was a trigger, if you will, that caused the reluctant people on the pew, that's how I'm saying it today, to forsake all and just follow Jesus. I'm serving God with all of my heart, with all of my soul. I'm jumping in with both feet, which Simon had not done before, but he did now. So we've got Moses struggling with the "I am that I am," talking to him out of a bush burning that's not being consumed. Even after the miracle of the stick turning into a serpent, his hand in his bosom becoming leprous, and then returning it to his bosom and it becomes clean again. Even after the miracles, he's still like, "I don't think so. I'm not of good speech." So he's constantly, like some of us do, he's backing up from the "I am that I am," because he's too in tune with himself. He's too in tune with his shortcomings. "Peter, depart from me." This is what he's telling the "I am that I am." He's another Moses. "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man." Not quite getting who's in the boat yet. He's being moved by who's in the boat, but not quite understanding who's in the boat reaching for his soul. It'll net. You're not the greatest part of the equation. So don't think so highly of yourself. Watch. 8+? 10. We have an 8+, we have an equal sign, and we have the answer. Your part is not the biggest part of that equation, but it's an important part. When you put the 2 in there, 8+2=10, you have a complete equation, but it's not the biggest part of the equation, but it's only a part. We have such a small part. Praise God. Just put your 2 up there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God's got the rest. Hallelujah. Oh, let's love him a moment, shall we? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's go to John 11. In the presence of I am. Oh, hallelujah. I'm looking forward to people just jumping in with both feet and just giving their lives to God and not holding back. But we have examples here in the Word to remind us that this is what people do. Because you can't make anybody live right. But you can live right. And if you live right, you can be an influence to others who want to live right. Don't ever think that somebody at home or on your job or at your school doesn't want to live for God. That's nonsense talk. There are hundreds everywhere that want to live for God. John 11, we're going to go right back to, we're going to read some verses before the one we just read. And I'll try to sum this up here. I hope this makes sense to you on this Easter Sunday. Hallelujah. This is an Easter message. Believe it or not, it is an Easter message. Jesus isn't interested in you celebrating ceremony. He's interested in resurrecting you. And if you celebrate Easter, but you're not resurrected, what's the good of it? He didn't shed blood to give us a ceremony or a holiday. He shed blood to resurrect us. Hallelujah. So that we could say not only that he is the resurrection, but that I'm a part of that resurrection. That's what this is about. But there are some who are afraid of the resurrection, and I'm going to show you why. It's easy to talk about someday, but when someday shows up now and says, I'm someday now. When he says, we're not here to talk about delivering Israel someday, I'm here to deliver them right now. Yes. He puts you on the spot. Do you want God or do you not want God? I told you about when God healed me of the sinus infection. God put me on the spot. Are you going to stay sick or are you going to come be healed now? And I had to be reminded of the fact that I had endured things that I didn't have to endure because I am that I am was present. So here we are, and Jesus has, you know the story, for time's sake, he got word that Lazarus was sick, and he decided to stay where he was. And there's significance to that we're going to see here in a minute. He decided to stay where he was, and then afterwards, he said, let's go and raise up our brother out of sleep. And they said, well, if he's sleeping, he'll be all right. He said, well, he's dead. So Jesus knew he was dead already. Now we begin reading here. Let's see. I'm going to go way back, but we're going to go to, verse 17, chapter 11. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had been laying in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, which is almost 2 miles. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever you will ask of God, God will give it you. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. I want to stop here for a minute. He didn't continue walking into Bethany. He didn't go right into the house where Mary was. He stayed like he did before when he got the report. He stayed where he was, and now he shows up a certain distance. He's on the outskirts of town, and he stays where he is and sends Martha to go get Mary. Praise God. It's not just about Jesus coming to deal with your situation. It's about you leaving your situation to go to Jesus. It's not all about God. God will always step into your mess, but you've got to leave your mess and go to the one who can fix your mess. Praise the Lord. That's why he stayed where he was. Mary, you come. You leave your sorrowing. You leave your turmoil. You leave your suffering and you come unto me. Isn't that what he said in the first place? Come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your soul. Because as people, we have to be willing to stop being reluctant and come unto the I am that I am, who can fix things that are not right in your life. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. But how many times have so many of us, oh, Lord, come to my situation. Oh, the Lord will come. The Lord will come and fix it and fix it and fix it. And all of a sudden, we're not finding the other side of that equal sign. It's because we're still leaving it a question mark. He's not your bellboy. We have to be willing if we're going to find the answer. We have to be willing to pick up from where we are. Isn't that what the scriptures talk about? I will lift up mine eyes. Where am I lifting it from? Where I don't want it to stay. Where he has come to bring me from. That weeping that may endure for a night. What am I lifting up my eyes to? That joy that comes in the morning, no matter how painful it is. Even if I want to stay in the house and sulk and be full of pain and sorrow. If I'm ever to reach the other side of that equal sign, I've got to be willing to pick myself up and go to the one who is the 8+ and step into the equation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. To watch. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goes to the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if you had just been here, my brother would have never died. This would have never happened. This would have never happened. If you had only answered my first call, this would not have happened. You know, there are people that won't come to church because they feel God disappointed them. I'm telling the truth tonight. There are some people that are not in church today because they asked God for something and it didn't happen. Mama died. Daddy died. Something happened that didn't go their way. If he'd only been here. So in their mind, the situation has gone beyond fixing. That's what they're saying. They're saying if he had been here when it was fixable, because we've seen him do fixable stuff. When it was half broken, we saw him fix it. And oh, thank God it didn't go any further, because it would have been disastrous, right? We've all seen that. We've all seen people's lives that could have gone, if another day had passed, the difference in them being in church or not. It was this deciding moment. But what happens when it goes beyond that and they're a mess? They're the prodigal child. Or in Lazarus' case, dead. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping with her, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said unto him, "Lord, come and see." Praise God. They're so emotionally attached because they're people. We're people. We're just like them. I'm not here to exalt myself against Mary or Martha or any of the other Jews. I'm not here to say, "See, well, they should have believed God." I'm not here to cast stones at them. We're just like them. So Jesus said, "Well, where's the mess?" And they said, "Come see." Hallelujah. "Where have you laid him? Come and see." And then we read verse 35, pastor's favorite quoting verse. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." Yeah, he did love Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He did, but he's not weeping for that reason. He's weeping for verse 37's reason. "And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died?" Jesus, therefore, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and the stone lay upon it. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days." So she immediately speaks up. Whoa, wait just a minute. Maybe in her mind, she thought Jesus was just going to go to the stone. I hope I'm not yelling too much. That he was just going to go to the stone and just weep like they were weeping and join in the, "Oh, yeah." But instead, he pulls a surprise. Roll it away. And Martha says, "Wait a minute. He's been dead for 4 days. Surely he stinks." As one preacher said, "Stink don't stop him." And he said, "Didn't I say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" See, in her mind was the resurrection at the last day. I know he's going to rise again because we're good at rolling. We're good at pushing the miracle ahead. We're good at someday revival, someday church growth, someday miracle. Until Jesus goes to the someday and he rolls it back to today. And he says, "That resurrection, I am. I am that resurrection. And I'm right here right now. And I just told you, Lazarus shall rise again." And then he says, "Roll the stone away." So I'm asking the wonderful people of God, what are you going to do when Jesus steps into your little church service and he says, "Roll the stone away"? I'm here today to perform a miracle for you. I'm here today to save your soul. I'm here today to be I am that I am right here, right now. Not tomorrow, not in the next service, but I've rolled it right up into you, right up against you, and I've said, "I'm that resurrection. I'm that miracle that you keep dreaming about someday." He just kicks it like a soccer ball, Brother Rick, and kicks it right up to you. Hallelujah. And he lifted up his eyes and said, "Pop, thanks for hearing me. I knew you hear me always, but because of the people that stand by, I said it. That they may believe that you have sent me." So what's happening here? Flesh, that which came out from God, is talking to God for the reason he just said it. Not another God talking to another God. Flesh talking to spirit. vocal cords of a man talking to spirit. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know what the reaction was at that tomb, but I can imagine. I can imagine how God can turn weeping into dancing, mourning into laughter. Hallelujah. Something that they expected, well, someday we'll have it. But Jesus stepped in and said, I'm your someday now. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? What's all this end time revival talk? Praise God. I never pulled the plug on revival. I never said revival only happened in the first century, then it'll go dead and dormant until the 20th and the 21st century. That's theology that didn't come from heaven. Jesus said, I am revival. I am church growth. I am your miracle. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, let's love him, let's love him, let's love him, let's love him. And let's believe him, let's believe him, and let's believe him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So we're celebrating today the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ because it's tradition. I'm not here to blast tradition and make light of it either. But what I am here to say that a greater than the tradition of celebrating Easter is here. And like has already been mentioned, we used to do our dues, praise God, but I didn't have the resurrection in me. I recognized the resurrection. I was in the company of people who recognized. I believed, but I was not a partaker of it. And Jesus would rather see you be a Monday through Sunday partaker than a once a year celebrator. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He wants to get in your boat. He wants to perform some miracles in your life. He's wondering if you'll let him. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He's not doubting himself. There's no problem with the miracle machine. There's no problem with the soul winning machine. There's no problem with the I am that I am. He's still the great I am. When you go to the prayer room, remind yourself, I am, has sent me unto you. Hey, why don't you say that the next time you feel like you're in bondage? You just go talk to your bondage in the prayer room. And you just go tell your problems, no matter what they are. I am, has sent me to you. Oh, hallelujah. I am, has sent me unto you. The I am hath said, you're coming out of this. Glory, hallelujah. I don't care if it's sickness, finance, marital problems, children problems, school problems, work problems. I am has sent me to you. Glory, hallelujah. But I say this to you in closing here. Believest thou this? Believest thou this? Do you believe enough to step into your own prayer life with all that junk that's on your brain and declare the word of the Lord unto it? The word of God said, let down your nets, drop them for a great catch. That meant all the fish in the ocean. I don't care if they're on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. When that voice said, let down your nets for a catch, they said, well, boys, we got to go. We got to go to where that boat is. Because the master of the storms, the master of the seas, just gave us a command. And when you obey, it'll obey. Isn't that amazing? When you obey, when you step into that equation and join yourself to I am plus you equals miracle. Jesus. Hallelujah. Some awesome stuff's going to happen in your life. It's not your word. It's not. You're not going there with your word. You're not going there with your power. You're not going to that situation with your ability. You're going with God saying, I will certainly be with you. Yes. Glory. That's what makes it powerful. You're going even to your own prayer life. You're going with, I am sent me here to talk to all of you. Thank you, Jesus. To talk to all of you circumstances that are going against me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God said, if I'll go, he'll be with me. So the Lord's with me in this thing. And we can declare the word of God over fishless nets, empty pews, reluctant souls that do fill the pews sometimes, empty baptistries. I mean, I'd much rather do that, Sister Gloria. I'd much rather pace the church and lay hands on empty chairs and faith, an empty baptistry and faith, than walk around sucking my thumb, feeling sorry, wondering if we're really ever going to have a church here in Norwich, the armpit of New England. They don't even use deodorant here. How dare they? No, that's not the view. I think every city in America without God's an armpit, but where it's deodorant. Do you hear me? God has sent us to be the deodorant. Surely Norwich stinketh, right, but roll the stone away. Hallelujah. And cry out to Norwich, come forth. Norwich and all you wackadoodles, come forth. In the name of Jesus Christ, come forth. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Let's stand and... Isn't it amazing, some people, look, when people come to church, have a great expectation for them, but if they don't jump out of their grave clothes right away, Lazarus did walk out of the tomb with grave clothes on, and you came to church and you had grave clothes on too. It was Jesus that said, loose him and let him go. So that means they got their hands dirty with the dude that was stinking for 4 days. And they had to unwrap what they just wrapped. Well, that's it. Happy Easter. We're here today because Jesus went to a cross to bear your sorrow and mine. But he didn't go to that cross to just die and then be buried in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb and stay there and corrupt as a body would and return to the dust. He went there to pay a price that had to be paid in God's judicial court. That said, mankind cannot be redeemed without the price of blood, as it is written in the word of the Lord, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, Hebrews 9:22, there is no remission of sin. So Jesus shed blood to give us the remission of our sins so that when we do decide, I'm going to step up on this side of the plus sign and be baptized in his name so that it will equal, I am washed, I am justified, and I am sanctified. Because until I join myself to I am that I am who shed blood for us, I will never be clean. Acts 20:28 testifies, and take heed to the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. Now God is not a man, but his own blood was the Son of Man that came out of the womb of Mary that he formed in her womb. The Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, not the third person of anybody's triune God. It was the Spirit of God. God is not a Trinity. And never has been a Trinity. He is one eternal God who stepped inside of a little handmaiden's womb. Said, I'm going to put a veil over my face. Hallelujah. And I'm going to go to a cross and shed blood. And they're going to bury me, but in 3 days I'll rise again. Hallelujah. I've got to rise again because I need to make sure Heather gets up. And Mike gets up, and Justin gets up, and Tanya gets up, and Melody gets up, and Carolyn, I can name all of you. He said, I've got to get up, because if I don't get up, they don't get up. Praise God. That's why he went. He did not do what he did to give us a holiday. He did what he did to give us salvation. So that he, as the I am that I am, could walk in us and dwell in us and talk with us and be our God. And we could be his people. Amen? Let's love it. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. 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 Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God for the blood of Christ. Thank God for the resurrection of Christ. Praise God. I'm so thankful for his word. While we remain standing praying, Sister Erica, would you come?